a series of events follow. And once you say A, you have to say B. And once you say B, you have to say C. And once you say C, you have to say D. As I was studying the text during the past week, the experience of Pharaoh down in Egypt came to mind. Pharaoh was given a time of grace, and there was a chance for him to repent and save his soul. But Pharaoh started to harden his heart, and somewhere along the line, he passed the point of no return. And after that, after he had despised the grace of God for a certain period of time, the Lord God took over, and instead of Pharaoh hardening his heart now, God started to harden it. And at that point, the die was cast, and one thing led to another, and Pharaoh finally found his grave in the bottom of the Red Sea, and things got worse after that. There are times in life when inevitably one thing leads to another. And we've come to that point here in Revelation chapter 6. The opening verses of the chapter are very easy to remember because of these four horses that appear on the scene, which have been called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, first comes the white horse. Then comes the red horse, then comes the black horse, and now today comes the pale horse. The text is in Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat upon him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now the context here is very important. And before we get into that, we'd like to begin a little belatedly, like we normally begin, and that is by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by the tapes and the speakerphone. Service today coming from Shakopee in the land of Minnesota, and we welcome you to invite you to open your Bibles with us. As you know by now, we are in Revelation chapter 6. And we're talking about death here, and death is something that strikes God's people also, but not the kind of death that we're talking about right here. The context, as usual, is extremely important. I recall there was this throne in heaven surrounded by that beautiful emerald rainbow. And on that throne sat the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. In his right hand, he held a scroll or a book that was sealed with seven seals. Now, we've already studied this. This scroll was the title deed to the world and to the whole creation. At this point, the devil has usurped control. He and his wicked ones are ruling. He's called the god of this world, the prince of this world, and he's wreaking havoc. But then comes the time when the rightful owner was going to take possession. No one was found worthy to open the book, open the seals, until the Son of God came forth in the form of a lamb as it had been slain. And this is the thing that makes him worthy to open the book, take the book from the right hand of the Almighty, and open the seal. He shed his blood to save the whole world, cleanse the whole creation. This is very important. The Lamb came up to the throne then, passed this strong, powerful angel, took the book, and started to open the seals. As he opened the seals, the first four of them, these four horses with their riders, came forth. Now we've got to remember that the riders were sent forth by the Son of God. You've got to remember that. And you've got to remember that he did this in order to drive out the devil and his wicked ones who have usurped power and to take control of the whole creation himself. You can't understand this until you look at it in that context. The heathen people are the ones who are under judgment here. And so we have the first seal opened, and a white horse comes out with his rider. His rider has a bow in his hand. Now this bow can be used in the Old Testament. The bow either indicates the beautiful rainbow that came as a sign of God's covenant promise to Noah, or the same word used for a bow that you shoot arrows with and conquer the enemy. The rider on the white horse initially is a signifying of the false prophets that finally are sent into the world by Jesus Christ himself to drive out the wicked ones. It's God's judgment on the world. You've got to remember that. None of God's children are going to be hurt by this. There's not one child of God, one elect child of God throughout all history that's ever going to be deceived by one of these false prophets and lose his soul. It's not going to happen. The false prophets are God's judgment upon the hypocrites in the church who pretend to be Christian, but they're really not. Now, pretending to be children of the devil are children of God, but in reality they're children of the devil. And the Son of God is the one, finally, if you want to trace this thing to the top of the ladder, he's the one who breaks the first seal and sends the white horse with the false prophets into the world. Now once you say A, you have to say B. Once the white horse has gone out, and this was inevitable, then the next horse is going to come. The false prophets deceive the people by crying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Now, we have the word of the Son of God that in the last day many false prophets shall come and shall deceive many. Now we've said this over and over and over again. Now, there are multitudes in the Christian church today who are deceived, think they're children of God, and in reality they are not. They've listened to the false prophets who cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. They think they've got peace with God, and they do not. Now the second seal is opened, and here comes the red horse with his rider. The red horse is a symbolic of bloodshed and war. And the rider on the red horse has this great sword. He's going out to conquer, drive out the usurpers. And people who thought that they were at peace with God now find out suddenly they are not at peace with God at all. And I don't even know if some of them are aware of it at this point yet. But God has become their enemy, and he's fighting with the great sword against them. Inevitably then comes the breaking of the third seal, and out comes the black horse with his rider. The black horse has a very powerful weapon, or the rider of the black horse has a very powerful weapon in his hand too, a pair of balances or scales. And black here indicates calamity and famine, that there's a big famine now in the world. And from the spiritual side of things, this is not a famine of bread or of water. It's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And finally, when people have rejected the word long enough, God pulls back the true prophets and sends false prophets into the world. And then the big spiritual famine comes, and there's no hope anymore. Then inevitably we come to the breaking of the fourth seal, and out comes a pale horse. The rider on the pale horse has a name. His name is Death. And he's followed by Hell. This is extremely important. The pale horse, the fourth horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The Greek word for pale here, translated pale in the King James, is the word chloros, which actually means green or pale green. Our English word chlorophyll comes from it. It's a derivative of the word chloros. We are told that this was the word that Greek doctors and physicians used to describe someone who was very, very ill and on the point of dying. I suppose the same sort of terminology we use when we describe a person who looks sick as being green around the gills. I don't know if you've heard that expression or not. When I was young, I heard it all the time. That's what it means. The pale horse, then, we could translate it that the fourth horse was a green horse. It could be translated that way. Or a pale green horse. King James uses pale. We'll go with that. But the word chloros here, that Greek word, is the very same word that's used in Mark chapter 6, verse 39. And that's where Jesus was with a large crowd out in the wilderness. And he told them to sit down upon the green chloros grass. It's used in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. If you want to page ahead a little bit. Chapter 8, verse 7 reads this way. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass, green is chloros, same word, all the green grass was burnt up. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, any green thing, the word chloros again. Why didn't the King James translators translate it green then, I wonder? Why pale? I think better would have been pale green, but they had a reason for this, I believe. And I believe the reason is this, that green normally is the color of life. Get back to that throne again. It was surrounded, encircled, by this fantastically beautiful green emerald rainbow. And in the Old Testament, the rainbow was God's covenant with Noah. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, day and night, summer and winter shall not cease. They had ceased the year before that because the great flood came and covered the earth. And for a whole year, there was no seed time and there was no harvest. There was only death. But those that were with Noah in that ark were saved. And then God made a covenant with them. And the covenant was, I will not destroy the world anymore with water. I give you my promise that as long as the earth remains, the Hebrew has it, as long as days of earth remain, there will be a seed time and there will be a harvest, and that's my promise to you. There's going to be life. Well, now there's going to come another time when the earth is going to be destroyed not by water but by fire. And God makes another promise. It's the promise of the emerald rainbow. Now, this isn't the end of anything. I am going to renovate the heavens and earth. I'm going to give you a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and there will be no more death and no more sorrow and no more pain. The former things have passed away. There's going to be eternal, everlasting life. That's what the color green means. That's why there was that emerald rainbow. But here we have the pale horse with his rider. A pale green horse. the same color that represents life also represents death. How can that be? Well, the life that God gives us comes all the time, every single time, through His Word. But the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It heals, but it also destroys. It depends upon your reaction to it. For those who accept it and believe it, it is life. For those who disbelieve it and reject it, it is death. The same word that gives life to the one gives death and judgment to the other. We're reminded of the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm in verses 15, 16, and 17. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So you're talking about the two different kinds of people. To the one, we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other, a savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Well, what does all this mean? The picture is taken from a custom that they had in the days, in the ancient days, that when an army went out and conquered, and they won a tremendous battle, conquered another country, it was the custom to take prisoners back to the homeland. When they got back home, they had a big victory parade. And these prisoners, bound, were walking in this parade. All the way through the parade, you had young girls that had censers burning incense, and they'd walk around waving these censers around. And everybody watching the parade could smell this beautiful, sweet incense. Now, this incense meant different things. That's what Paul said. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. But the incense, it meant two different things. If you were standing there watching the parade, and your army was the one that had conquered, then the incense to you was a smell of victory and life. But if you were one of the prisoners walking in the parade, the same incense was a smell of defeat and death. Because when the parade was over, they were put to death. Same incense, but it meant life to one and death to the other. Same color, green, but it means life to one and death to the other. Now, we're hammering this over and over and over because it is so important. Many people, when they read the book of Revelation, are scared half to death. You don't have to be, and you shouldn't be. A child of God doesn't have to fear anything in the book of Revelation. This is the Son of God conquering the world, driving out the wicked ones. Now read it very, very carefully. Verse 8. I looked, and behold, a pale horse. I'm going to translate it pale green. And I looked, and behold, a pale green horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. There's more here then to death than meets the eye. We, with human eyes, see somebody breathing out their last, and the body is buried into the ground and covered with dirt. And it's all over. But it's not all over. There's more than death involved here. The name of him that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him. I've never seen this adequately portrayed in a picture. Some people feel that hell was riding on a horse behind death, but it doesn't mention another horse here. It just mentions the pale green one. Some feel that there were two riders on the horse. You had the one called death, and then sitting right in back of him on the same horse was hell. Now, other artists picture hell as a human being, a very vicious-looking one, following the rider on the green horse. Now, picture it as you will. But the important thing to remember for your comfort and mine is Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And the Savior is speaking here, and he says this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and death, and that's exactly what we're talking about here in the other order. The rider on the pale horse, his name was death. Hell followed him. He was under the control of the Son of God. He was sent forth by the Son of God, and what he's doing is carrying out the will of the Son of God on the enemy. Remember that. Don't be afraid of it. Praise God for it. Thank God this happened. Okay. There is, as even some heathen people vaguely are aware of, the dread of something after death. A lot of heathen people have died in total anguish of this. What if there is something on the other side of the grave yet, and what is it? They're afraid of that. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. I believe the number four is what is important here. I don't think they're talking about a quarter of the earth's population. I believe the number four here relates to the world. This is a judgment that is coming on the children of the devil, people in the world, children of the world. And unto them was given power over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and hunger and death and with the beasts of the earth. A sword and hunger, you recognize, were the weapons of the red horse and the black horse. Now comes the pale horse. He's using the same weapons, only these things are intensified now. They're worse now than they were before. And I believe that this is a reference to hell. I don't care how bad things are on this earth. It's nothing compared to what the children of the devil are going to suffer down in hell. And the children of the devil who find themselves in a situation that's so bad that they want to end it all, they can't take it anymore, they take their own life. Little do they realize they're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Because the fire is worse than the frying pan by a long shot. The Greek word for death is thanatos. It's the word that's used to describe the rider on the green horse, the pale green horse, which the King James, I think, correctly capitalizes the word death, capital D. It's the same word that he says to kill them with sword and hunger and with death. And this word death includes all different causes of death. You can die of old age. You hit by a car and die. You can get sick and die. You can have an accident. You can commit suicide. All kinds of death are described here. Everything. The intriguing thing to me is the last part. And with the beasts of the earth. Now the word beast here is the Greek word therion. It's a different word than the King James describes as these four beasts that were surrounding the throne or by the surrounding the throne. I would translate that living beings. That's a different Greek word. It's not the same one as we've got here. this therian. The Greek word here can mean wild animals like lions or tigers or bears. It can mean that. But if you do a little word study here, you find out that this word, which is translated beast here in Revelation chapter 6, is used 38 times in Revelation. That's a lot of times. If we're counting correctly, it's 38 times. This is one of them right here. All 37 other times that the word is used, it refers to a powerful enemy of the Son of God and his people. The word beasts sometimes is used, and wild animals sometimes are used in Scripture to picture the devil's wicked ones and the evil spirits. And I'm thinking first of all of Psalm 22, which is the crucifixion psalm, and the words of the Son of God. And in verse 12 he says this, "Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion." Then he says in verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me." And then to explain that, "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Verse 21, "Save me from the lion's mouth." Now there's a movie that's just been put out, which you've heard of. It's been given a lot of publicity on the crucifixion of Christ. I haven't seen it, but I've seen other movies that have depicted it. I have never, ever, in any of these movies, seen wild bulls running around the crosses on Calvary, or wild lions there, or wild dogs there. I've never seen that. It's never pictured that way, because it didn't happen that way. When the Savior says, "Many bulls have compassed me, as a ravening and roaring lion, they gaped upon me with their mouths," he's not talking about bulls and lions. He's talking about wicked people, scribes and Pharisees and elders and Sadducees, the chief priests, and the devil himself and all of his wicked ones. "And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I believe, you know, there are some animals, when you look at them, they teach you something about God. A lamb. Other animals teach you something about the devil. A ravening wolf. Lions, vicious bulls. It's almost a parable in action. Looking at a physical world and seeing a picture of what's really going on in a spiritual world. It's a vicious, vicious scene that we see here. No child of the devil is going to live through it. It's the Son of God who takes the book. It's the Son of God who opens the first seal and sends out the white horse, and he opens the second seal and he sends out the red horse, and he opens the third seal and he sends out the black horse, and he opens the fourth seal and he sends out the pale green horse. And this is his judgment against the children of the devil who are trying to usurp this creation and take you and I down to hell with them. It's not going to happen. There is a way of escape. Isaiah 26, verse 20 puts it this way. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast." Yes, the pale green horse is a representative of death and hell. But the color green is also a symbol of life. to every one of God's elect. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the tremendous comfort which you have given us and are giving us and will continue to give us as your own children here in the book of Revelation. And grant that with thankful hearts we may see your final, absolute, total, and complete victory over the devil and all his wicked ones. And look forward then to the new heavens and new earth which you are even now preparing for those who love you. And we look forward to the time when you will come again and take us to yourself, that as you promised, we may be with you and live forever as your bride in your kingdom of glory. Pray this in your name. Amen.